Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Jesus Christ has won the victory. Scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in dark places. That's why we need to put on the entire armor of God, because we ourselves, we are no match. But we have the man, Christ Jesus, who is fighting for us, his church. And each time we give him thanks and we worship him, knowing that the victory is already won. So whatever you are going through, whatever comes your way, whatever storm, hurricane, just remember, Jesus Christ is fighting for you and with you. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let me greet Pastor Kevin Webb, the officers of this amazing church, all the believers, visitors, children, babies, Dr. Williams, dear friend of mine. Everyone here today, God bless you. I greet you all. It is indeed a joy for us to be here, especially, you know, to have my family with me. First time here, you know, And we're truly having a wonderful time with Dr. Williams. We'll be leaving on Tuesday. And we give God thanks for what he has done and what he's going to do and will continue to do. I also want to say thanks to church publicly for being faithful to the work in Jamaica. You have been consistently supporting, you know, Calvary Baptist Church and the community, and we give God thanks for you and for your dedication and for your commitment. Put your hands together for yourselves. Oh yes. Amen. So we are truly appreciative of what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, believers, our only purpose is to glorify him. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about giving God the worship and praise that he deserves. And today we have come with no exception. We are going to magnify him. We are going to worship him. And we are going to feast at his feet, at his table. So with no further ado, let me invite everyone to take their Bibles with me to the passage that was read, a well-known passage of scripture. And we're going to see what the Lord has in store for us. That's Acts 1, reading from verse 4 through to 8. Again, it reads,
and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let us look to God in prayer. Eternal Father, we give you thanks, O God, that there is power in your word. We give you thanks, O God, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And with that, O God, we are able to do what you want us to do. We are able to accomplish what you want us to accomplish. And I pray that your word will find a place in our hearts and lives, and obedience will take place. Use us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The theme of the sermon is the church's mandate. The church's mandate. Just turn to the person next to you and say, the church's mandate. The church's mandate. The world today needs a change. The hearts and minds of our people are far removed from doing which is right. Some people are so dependent today on the government for change. Some people are dependent on our politicians for change. And our politicians are in line for change themselves. Our police officers, who work so hard at times to deal with the everyday crime and violence, are so confused as to the next step to take. And many persons depend on the police officers for change. The change that is needed in the world today is a change of heart, is a change of mind, is a change of one's concept. The change that is needed in today's society that is going to appease what we see and what we experience will be a change of heart. And this change of heart has to come from God Himself. If we are going to see a difference within our family, within our society, within our community, within our schools, if we are going to see a difference today, that change will have to come from the heart. And the church of God has the message and the answer for that change. After the death of Jesus Christ, he was resurrected, getting ready to return to his Father, was meeting with his disciples for the very last time. And while they were in the upper room, Jesus Christ said something of utmost importance, something that we need to understand and something that we need to accept if we are going to be faithful servants of God Almighty. The scripture says in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, you have heard of me. Before the coming, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, coming over into the New Testament, the first part of it, the Holy Spirit never indwelled anyone on a permanent basis. The Holy Spirit usually come and empower the men, the women, to do mighty acts for God. But when Jesus Christ left, the Holy Spirit of God starting to indwell the believers, starting to indwell the people of God to do mighty works for God. But Jesus Christ turned to the disciples, and I want us to understand something. He said to them, don't go until you are empowered. Hello. Don't you leave from where you are until you get the enablement of the Holy Spirit, until you get the power of the Holy Spirit, because what you are going to run into are things that you are not going to be able to deal with all by yourself. You are going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to get through. So Jesus says, hey, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you in your own strength and might, because you will be a total failure. So the Bible says that, hey, tarry for the Holy Spirit. Don't move until you are ready. Don't move until you are empowered. Don't move until you have the power of God, because the devil is not afraid to fight against you. The devil is not afraid to whip you. The devil is not afraid to kick you. The devil is not afraid to get you discouraged. But having the indwelling and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be victors and not victims. So as believers of God, we need to understand that the ministry that we are a part of is a spiritual one. It's one that we need not to take lightly. It's one that we need not to fight within our own strength and might. It's one that we need to be totally dependent upon God Almighty. So Jesus Christ said, my servants, listen to me. Wait for the promise. For the promise. For the promise. That same promise is promised to the world as well. And as a church, we have the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the only hope that awaits humanity today. And the gospel of Jesus Christ reaches the heart, reaches the mind. The gospel of Jesus Christ will bring a right about change in anyone's life. Why? Because it speaks to your spiritual side. So Jesus said, don't move until the promise comes. So it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now Jesus Christ was not talking about baptism as a means for salvation. John baptized those people because they repented, because they accepted the message that he was preaching. Nowhere in scripture we are told for someone to be baptized to be saved. Persons get baptized because they are saved. Baptism is an outward act of an inward change. Baptism is only for the church. Baptism is only for the regenerated man. If someone is not regenerated and that person is baptized, it means then that you go in as a dry sinner. And he comes out as a wet sinner. No difference. The true change comes when one sees God for who he is. True change comes when one says, Lord, I am guilty. I am a sinner. I need to be saved. I need to serve you. Then the Spirit of God comes and take up residence inside of that individual. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Amazing. So Jesus says, hey, when the Holy Spirit comes, you are going to have what is called spiritual baptism, where he will baptize you into the family of God based on your acceptance, based on your decision to serve him. But I want us to see something here. As much as Jesus Christ was explaining all of that, they still missed the mark. It says, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? If we miss the mark as a church, people are not going to hear about Christ. Hello? If we miss the real focus of why we are here, persons are going to die in their sins. If we miss the whole focus and give attention to what is not important and all important, we are going to be a group of people who are not fulfilling what we ought to fulfill. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Lord has in store. They thought Jesus Christ was coming to restore the earthly kingdom. They thought Jesus Christ was coming to start a revolution. And in their mind, they were waiting for that war. They were waiting for the kingdom to be restored. But Jesus Christ was not about that. The Bible says he has come to seek and to save that which was lost, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. The scripture says he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Jesus says he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So if we understand the whole purpose, then our actions will bring glory to God. Our decisions will bring glory to God. When we understand why we exist and how powerful the church of God is, when we understand that we need to share what we have received through someone who obeyed, through someone who was faithful, then someone will hear and receive Christ as well. So don't be distracted with things that are not so important. The scripture says we need to lay for ourselves where treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. But here is the mandate in verse 8.
It says,
hallelujah. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amazing. So Jesus Christ commanded them to tarry, to wait for the promise. He commanded them not to move, because you are going to need spiritual strength and spiritual guidance. You are going to need power from on high to serve me, to accomplish anything for me. And the Bible says in verse 8, and you shall receive power. The Greek word that is best translated, that power, is dunamis. Dunamis, which speaks about strength, which speaks about ability, which speaks about accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. So here it is. The Bible says, don't leave until you get the dunamis. It's where we get the English word dynamite from. And you think about a dynamite. It's powerful. It's powerful. So when we get that dunamis power, that dynamite within our bones, within our hearts, within our lives, let me tell you something. People will hear the gospel. People will hear about the love of God, because we are going to go out there with a resolution to share Jesus to everyone that we come in contact with. We go out there not in our own strength, because our own strength, we are going to be afraid. We are going to be timid. We are going to be confused. But when we go out there with that dunamis power that Jesus Christ says you shall receive when he comes up, when he indwells you, when he takes over, you shall be witnesses unto me, not to yourselves. Shall be witnesses unto me. We are all God's ambassadors. And the place to start is at home. Hello. Hallelujah. You know, many of us, we might not get the opportunity to travel elsewhere in the world. We might not get the opportunity to share Christ in another country, verbally, physically. But all of us, we can be a part of that mission. That's where that station comes in.
The channel. You can sow a seed for seeing someone coming to know Jesus Christ through your support, through your prayer, through your faithfulness, through your encouragement, even to your pastor. Let me tell you something. It's amazing when the church of God comes together and understand the power that we have. Understand how blessed we are. Understand that we have it at the tip of our finger. If we are going to see a change, that change will have to come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hear Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jews first and then to the Greek. When we understand how powerful we are, people's lives, hearts, minds will be changed for the glory of God.
The reason why you are here today, the reason why you are serving God today, the reason why you are not in the jail, you are not out there killing, you are not doing something bad, is because the grace of God. It's not because you are good, or you feel good, or you look good. It's because of the grace of God Almighty. The grace of God. So when Jesus says, "You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem," that's where your neighbor comes in. That's where your friends come in. That's where your family members come in. That's where your community comes in. That's where those around you come in. Start at home. It's the same life that is in another country that needs to be saved. Can you imagine leaving everyone around you and going after some other persons when the scripture says, start at home. Start where you are. And when you are finished with home, don't stop until where the uttermost part of the world. You know, Matthew says it like this. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 from verse 18. This is the church's mandate, the command that we have received. It says, starting from verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." In verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I want to point out something in this passage. In this passage, only one command was given. One imperative, not two. One imperative. And that imperative is to make disciples. Understand this. The other is a present participle. So in other words, it means as you go. Because the scripture assumes that we should be going. So as you go, make disciples. That's the imperative. That's the command. As you go, make disciples. So when you are at your workplace, find out if your worker is saved. When you are driving with your friend, find out if your friend is saved. When you are sitting beside someone on the plane, share Jesus Christ with that individual. Because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The imperative, the command is to make disciples, not to go, because we should be going. You follow? And we are always on the move. So as you go, make disciples. I'm not in Jamaica right now. I'm here in the United States. It is my duty to make disciples. As you travel elsewhere in the world, not because you are not at home, not because you are in the land of the stranger or the foreigner, your imperative, the command that you have received, is to make disciples. So as you go, shine for Jesus Christ. As you go, be that light, be that salt. As you go, be the voice, the ambassador for Jesus Christ. And with that, we are going to have more people coming to know him and less problem in our world today. Hallelujah. But I want us to understand something in closing. Jesus Christ says, all power is given unto me. That's a different Greek word. The Greek word that is best translated, all power is given unto me, is exousia, meaning authority. So Jesus Christ claims to have all the authority, not only in heaven, but on earth. So with that authority, with that power, with that exousia, Jesus says, hey, all authority is given unto me. And with that authority, go. I send you. It's like preparing someone for a task ahead. And then you say, go. Do what needs to be done. So when we go, bear this in mind. We are under God's power. Hello. We are under God's authority. So we are not under our own authority. We are not doing something that brings glory to ourselves. We are not doing something that we understand and we can figure out. We are doing something that God wants us to do. So when we go, go under the power of God Almighty, knowing he has sent us under his power. And with that, we have the indwelling power, which is the dunamis power, to tear down any barrier, to tear down any force, to claim what belongs to Jesus Christ. Believers, don't give up. You are more than conquerors through him who loves you. Let me invite everyone to stand with me.